This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com, a Paramount podcast. I am Mike Casaz across the screen on Zoom here. I guess you can't see that if you're listening. Trust me, though, it's Chris Anderson. Chris, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much should the Big 12 be panicked now that West Virginia is hit the ground running? Got some players, got some coaches. Just give them a pair of scissors, right?
Yeah. I'll say this. My baseline, Mike, for everyone else being concerned, is a 5. So we'll start there. We'll go 6, 6.5. Well, I don't know. Wait, seriously, though, let's go right off the top. Let's do the scale 1 to 10. Is your meter changing? Where were you last week? Were you a 6.5 on the panic meter for WVU side of things? You were 6.5.
When asked, because huh? I do not keep one on me, but when I'm asked to go get it, yeah, I started a 5. When you have no assistant coaches, kind of late in the game when it comes to like the recruiting calendar and the transfer portal, I move up a little bit. We were 6.5 last week. There's some things that made me a little bit alarmed. Maybe the number would go up, but then more importantly, 1 assistant coach, 2 assistant coaches, an office employee, and now got some pieces in the roster. Signed NLI from a freshman, some transfers who will sign their grant and aid soon. You got enough to put players on the floor right now, too. So, back to a 5, I think. But sound the alarm in the Big 12, 1 of 16 teams, but one that has, you know, finally some answers where there have been questions. That's what we're going to talk about today. What exactly the Mountaineers have been up to, what is left to be accomplished, because there still is plenty. Big news over the weekend, though, maybe not surprising. 2 commitments, perhaps not the 2 commitments you expected, because the, by my count, 4th and 5th players to visit a Darren DeVries team at West Virginia would be Sincere Harris and Hansbray, the big guy from Illinois, both played, recruited by Chester Frazier. They both commit yesterday, Sunday. It wasn't Aiton Wright. It wasn't Toby Okani. They were here the weekend before. One or both may still be on the way. Not surprising they got recruits, transfers. Are you surprised at all, Chris, that it was not the first wave of players and players who kind of knew the staff and, you know, some of the expectations of being a player for DeVries? It wasn't those two. It was 2 other people who don't really know DeVries so well.
Yeah, it's funny. I think that would have been the easier picks, the guys that just had that natural fit with DeVries and came from Drake. All those guys that touched base, Overton, Wright, Connor, I'm blanking on his name, and Wright. Mm-hmm. And kind of going from there, maybe even a couple other high school recruits. But, you know, KJ Tenner flipped. The other Burton, the other high school signee, I messaged him. I had heard that they had been in touch. He was considering a visit. I reached out to him directly to get answers, and he told me flat out he hadn't even heard from DeVries or anyone at WVU. So sounds like that was a decision made by DeVries and his coaching staff. to kind of only focus on Tenor out of high school, only focus on a couple of the guys that were transfer eligible types coming from Drake. And really, I wonder what the conversations were like with guys like for instance, Enright. You know, he visited West Virginia. I think everybody who kind of follows things or looks at things from a Big 12 perspective and from a WVU perspective thought, yeah, he's probably a good bench player. Is a guy going to want to come from starting spot like Drake to a bench role at WVU? Maybe. But what if DePaul's got a wide open starting spot for him closer to home? Makes sense. I'm a little, not surprised, just a little curious. Not panicked. Curious about Wright. Not because, you know, he's this key piece that's going to make or break this transfer overhaul, but he seemed most likely to commit. You know, he was a guy that almost immediately entered the transfer portal as soon as DeVries was linked to West Virginia. He almost immediately made contact with the coaching staff. Coaching staff made contact with him, vice versa. Was the first visitor, first wave of visitors. Has no other visits set. I had heard that he might be visiting somewhere else. I'm told that actually it wasn't a visit somewhere else. He was out of town from his hometown this past weekend for, you know, normal stuff, not official visits. So it's kind of sitting there, hey, what's his plan? Is he going to be the next commit? What is he going to visit somewhere else? You know, you were getting answers with other guys going on other visits or going ahead and committing to West Virginia, but Wright's the one that's kind of just hovering around things right now.
Let's review the roster really fast. You ready?
Yep.
On scholarship, Tucker DeVries.
Okay.
Ofri Nave.
Okay.
KJ Tenner.
Okay.
Amani Hansberry.
Okay.
Sincere Harris.
Okay.
Don't think you have 20 wins there.
Maybe. Currently, not officially unofficial, Noah Farrakhan.
What's going on here? Because yeah, this is the guy that any coach coming in was wanting to keep. Like, people were lobbying, no, you must keep Noah Farrakhan, which was out of left field to me. Like, I don't know how that got started, but I heard that. I don't know who I heard it from or how many times, but, like, I started to believe it. Like, Noah Farrakhan was a non-negotiable, but maybe that wasn't true, Chris. Maybe the internet had that one wrong.
Yeah, that's a strange one because there's all this talk about what the plan was going to be for coaching staff. Defense. They're going to get a defensive-minded coach. He's making defensive-minded assistant coaching hires. And then I would say Farrakhan was known for his defense. Well, he was known. He was very well known for his defense. Just not the way that I think Ren Baker and everybody in the WVU athletic department was hoping. But right now, there are people around the program that are just openly talking about him not being back. Nothing's been official. He hasn't announced that he's leaving. He is not in the transfer portal. I believe he's like technically out of eligibility unless he wants to use his COVID year. So it might be one of those situations where he's just kind of letting it go and moving on, maybe going pro. I don't know. But there's been open discussions from people connected to the program that he's just out and gone, leaving West Virginia with five spots right now, but no official word from Farrakhan.
Feels like Wright and Okani would be the next piece of the fall into place. Let's say right now, five people, right? Eight more to go.
Okay.
And I ask you this question because they did just pull in two transfers, but, and we'll get to this, transfers with ample eligibility left. How would you split up the next eight here? 4-4 freshmen and transfers? Would you go 2-6, 3-5? Do you not even know? You just need players. How does this go for you?
I think you're almost exclusively transfer portal because even these situations with Harris and Hansberry, hey, they got 3 years of eligibility. Like, I almost don't even feel like putting that in stories now because I don't even know if it matters. It did until last year. Like, this would have been big. That would have added a lot to this, I think, last year. Now, they might still be eligible to move again next year. That, you know, the NCAA just approved the second, third, fourth, whatever waiver, however many waivers you want, as long as you are in good academic standing. I believe that was one of the very few limitations to it. But I'd be focused on, you know, mostly transfer guys because you're still, even with those five, So say Farrakhan's gone. You got Harris, Hansberry, Nave, DeVries, and Tenner, a true freshman out of high school. How many of those five are Big 12 ready? One for sure. I think we can say comfortably say Tucker DeVries is ready. And then you're getting into Harris and Hansberry. Like, they have the pedigree. They had the rankings out of high school. They look the part. They are athletic like the part. But they haven't yet produced the part. So maybe you got one yes, two maybes, and then Nave, who, again, we're seeing posts from his trainer, I believe is who it is, of him being up to 200 and some pounds, gaining 20, 30 pounds since he's arrived at West Virginia. So he might be more ready next year, but still not somebody I would say, hey, that's got to be part of my starting five. You still need dudes. You don't need guys. You need dudes. And I think, you know, Okani's would be one, right, is somebody who could contribute. But you still need to be hitting the transfer portal hard right now. So eight guys, I'm still going like 7-1 in favor of transfer with maybe one more high school recruit.
I wonder if that's even like an avenue that's realistic now. Everybody talks about coaching changes and people who are getting out of their NLIs. That's fine, but those are typically – I shouldn't even say those are like blue chip players anymore. I think maybe you're uncommitted high school players or you're reclassified. Those are kind of elite players, but there's been so many changes. But how many of them are still – unsigned or uncommitted, I don't know. So it might not even be a good pursuit because you might have scraps, let's say, and a lot of people fighting for those players. So perhaps it is wise to go to the portal where there are, I don't know, 1,400, 1,500 players, something like that. They could find eight, I would think. So that shouldn't be too difficult there.
Can I ask you a question, Mike?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me which situation is more likely. West Virginia goes into the 2024-25 season with 13 scholarship players, or they go into the season with 10 scholarship players? Like, I believe it's a real possibility they get to like basically 10. You know, they're at five right now, assuming Farrakhan's out. Add five more. And of course, you'd love to get to 13, but is that realistic given this current situation?
You know, both numbers seem so far away that you're more likely to say the one that is the greater distance from the president status is more unlikely. So you would say 10, you're more likely to have 10 because 11 and 12 and 13, what quality of player are you acquiring when you get to that quantity of acquisitions? I don't know. And like, that's not a guarantee you're going to get contributors. And by the way, you might be, air quotes here, stuck with those guys for multiple years. Do you want dead weight? And again, that's kind of a harsh thing, but let's be real now. Roster construction, roster management, it's harsh. Like, you're firing players, and players are quitting on teams, too. So a cynic might say the 10 could be the answer. An optimist might say you better get 13. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. Like, 10 might be more realistic, but 10 might be more functional, too. After you win a couple of games your first year, perhaps you get the postseason NCAA tournament, whatever you want to do, you qualify that season as a success, you can use those scholarships maybe a little bit more constructively. And get players you've recruited for a year, people who saw what you did in the portal and are excited about joining it, people who know a Hansberry or a Harris or whomever might join soon that has some friends, maybe the coaches have some contacts. It might not be a terrible thing if they end up under 13 too. So I would go under 13 for sure. And to answer the question, then yeah, 10, I guess, as opposed to 13. It's not a bad idea. It's obscure. It's not a great thing to go with 10 because if you get an injury, you know, you're down to nine, and realistically, how many of those nine are you even going to play? Maybe just eight. That's not a good thing. So you'd like to see them get above 10. Wouldn't be shocked or even angry. Wouldn't press the panic button if they ended up at 11 or 12 either. That seems like it's okay to me if they use it properly on the other end. Let's hit on Harris and Hansberry here. Former top 100 players, you know, kind of big parts of good recruiting classes and good rosters at Illinois. They come to town with three seasons of eligibility left. That's cool, Chris, but boy, that doesn't really matter to me anymore because the whole thing about not having to sit out anymore and just as long as you're academically eligible, you can go. Who knows? They could be gone for a year, but I guess the thing is if you want to recruit, retain, develop, you retain guys for a couple of years after you recruit them out of the portal, they can develop into really good players. I suppose it's a positive, and I don't want to pour water on it, so I'm not going to. Those are good players with good futures if everything works out right. And obviously the plan is to make everything work out right here. Philosophically, as far as like building a roster and then performance-wise, how do these two fit into what, I don't know, Corey Barnett, Nick Norton, Chester Frazier, Darren DeVries are trying to do right now.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I think the first thing I notice when I look at these guys, and it's something you and I discussed our last podcast, where we talked about, hey, man, I kind of like having length at a lot of different spots and having guys being able to be versatile and move around and switch and all that stuff. You add Harris, who is a 6'4". I don't know if he's going to get upset if I say point guard, but 6'4" guard, either way, whether it's point or off ball, it's good length. And Hansberry's there at 6'8". Is he a true center? I don't know about that, but he's a good, solid big man with long arms and a good post game. And there you go. Now you're looking at three guys that might be starters. Again, the roster's got to fill out, but the three guys you're talking about here, 6'4", 6'7", 6'8". You go look at somebody like Ofrinave, who again is bulking up right now, 6'6". KJ Tenner's a little shorter at 6', true freshman, but still not everybody's going to fit this mold, but I like the way they went with the two length pieces, length additions. Get the pedigree and kind of roll the dice of, hey, there's a reason these guys were amazing. Like the misses in recruiting rankings are far less often in basketball than they are in football. They just are. Like if you are ranked highly out of high school in basketball, you have a much higher hit rate in college and the pros than you do in football. And I think that's because most of that stuff translates. It's not system stuff. It's not size wise and developing your body as much as it is for football. And so the idea that Harris and Hansberry suddenly become complete non-factors after being top 100 prospects and some of the best players in the country, I find that very hard to believe. So I think adding them is a great move, a great start to kind of jumpstart things for West Virginia.
Yeah,
Hansberry, just watching his tape, boy, he catches everything. Whether it's a pass, if it's at his feet, if it's above the ground, if it's a weird angle on a rebound, he's got excellent hands, it looks like. And for a big guy, that's what you want, because you might add muscle, you might add weight, but if you have those feathery hands, you're going to be pretty effective around the basket, offensively, defensively. You're going to be good with that. Harris, man, I just don't know about. That's that the combination of his physical skills are I want to say common, but like certainly more common than a 6'8 guy who can, you know, build, who can run, who has great hands, could play five, could play, you know, a face in the basket four, almost like a three, I guess, if you want to talk about a front court alignment for this DeVries offense. Chris, Harris didn't play last year. So that development happened to Illinois for a team that he asked to redshirt, and that I don't want to make that a negative. It's just unusual. But he played as a true freshman. They were loaded at guard last year at Illinois and did not miss him. And again, not a negative to him. So it's not like he was a distraction. They were struggling, going, man, why isn't he with us? We need him. He was off to the side, strength, conditioning, trying to get his frame up because he was a smaller guy. You know, best player in Ohio by the rankings 2 years ago had freshman issues in the Big Ten. I think that's understandable. And then just took the curious route where he volunteered to redshirt last year and, you know, practice with the team and work on his body on the side and hasn't played a game in, you know, a year now. It'll be longer than that by the time he does suit up for West Virginia. I don't know what to make of this. I don't even know if you make anything up, and it might just be an unusual thing that makes sense. You don't see that a lot right now. You don't see redshirting too often outside of an injury or academics in college basketball. He's neither. He took a true developmental redshirt in basketball. And it's unusual to me because you think of a guy who's that highly regarded coming in. He's supposed to be ready to go. And I don't know if it's a good thing, if it's admirable, or if it's odd and something you don't like, that he played 1 year and went, let me take a powder for a year and get my body right. We'll see. West Virginia reaps the benefit here, I guess. But it's a mystery to me. And again, not a bad thing, not against it. I'm just curious to see how this goes.
Yeah, you look at Illinois' roster, and you got two senior guards back and starting. And then what, another player, as a sophomore, what he would have been, that were in the mix right there. Mm-hmm. And one of those guards, Shannon, is probably, I've seen different NBA mock drafts. I just pulled up one right now where he could go as high as the NBA lottery. Like, do you want to sit there and play behind a guy that's going to the NBA lottery? I mean, you can learn from him, sure, but you can also learn from him in practice. You can learn from him in workouts. You don't have to use another year of eligibility to play 8 to 10 minutes a game behind this guy. And here's the other part for me. If you to your point about this not being a problem, like it shouldn't be viewed as a negative. It's a little different. We're not used to it. And you made the point that it's not a negative. Chester Frazier was an assistant coach at Illinois, and he came to West Virginia, and the first person he reached out to was Sincere Harris. If anyone knows if it was a problem, it would have been Frazier. He was in the room. He would have known if it was a problem. He would have known if Harris was an issue or something else. He was like, no, you got to bring this guy in, and is vouching for him. So I think that speaks to, hey, this was just a unique situation where Harris saw kind of the writing on the wall and said, hey, I'm a very good player. I don't want to, you know, play 8 to 10 minutes a game behind an NBA draft pick. I want a red shirt. I'll help you guys out of practice. I want to save you your eligibility. And then he saw that, you know, maybe it's best for him to enter the transfer portal. So I don't think it's negative at all. I think the fact that Frazier is all in on this speaks to this being a situation that is not a problem, just like you said.
Recruited him, I believe, correct? I know for sure Hansberry, but I believe he also recruited Harris. So he knows him there. He was like the defensive minded coach. So if you're worried about a guy's ability, is he strong enough to guard the ball? Is he strong enough to work through screens? Is he strong enough to do the things we ask him to do on defense? He would know. And he's also a guard in college who coached the guards in Illinois too. So he's got his eye on these things. That'll be good. I know that West Virginia recruited Hansberry out of high school. Do you remember any of that? And then how did West Virginia not have its hooks in the number one player in Ohio when it comes to Harris? That's flipped script to me.
Yeah, Hansberry, West Virginia got in kind of late with an offer there on Hansberry. They came in like summer before his senior year, and he had already gotten dozens of offers. And I think he committed to Illinois not long after West Virginia came in with an offer. So it was just kind of late to the party on that one. With Harris, I find it interesting because, like you said, it's not like he was far. It's not like he was unknown. He was, I believe, at St. Vincent, St. Mary's, which is where West Virginia has been before. That's where Seth Wilson played. So it, again, not uncommon ground for West Virginia. I do believe they were involved. I'm looking at it here and I see like, hey, it's listed as not having an offer from West Virginia out of high school, but he might have been somebody that West Virginia was after, because the name obviously is very familiar to me. Followed him all along through high school. So West Virginia must have been involved. I just don't believe they came kind of through with an offer or really pushed hard for him at that point.
Coaching staff coming together. Frazier, not a surprise. Barnett, name honestly had not heard before it came across. And here's a former walk-on at Indiana who was under the wing of Steve Alford with the Hoosiers, UCLA, now Nevada. Very popular in Nevada. He's been on some lists for top mid-major coaches in the country. I don't know what you make of the Steve Alford coaching tree, but it seems like he's won everywhere he's been. I would assume this is a professional who's come up and looked at how to coach from different angles, but also has had a pretty good mentor along the way. We obviously know about Nelson Hernandez now as the officially not the GM. I don't know what it is. I think schools are just against using that GM title sometimes, even though they have a GM for football. But really and truly, your head coach is your general manager. But he will be the director of player personnel slash recruiting, the exact same title as his, I guess we can call him his predecessor now, Jay Kuntz. We also mentioned previously Trent Michaels, your director of operations. We knew that Nick Norton was the first assistant coach. So you have some names here now, Chris, as well as some ability to do some more things. This is what's cool to me. I think you're going to see them really slow down on hiring. I say that and we'll hang up and then all of a sudden we'll have two more assistant coaches. But the vibe I got going into this weekend was you have a head coach, you have three assistant coaches, you have a player personnel guy and a director of operations. Chris, that was a coaching staff 2 years ago. It was. There's two extra spots now. This is the second year for that. And you can have your head coach and your three assistant coaches out recruiting on the road. When May 1st rolls around, West Virginia can have three of its assistant coaches and its head coach go out the road. You got a guy at the office doing operation stuff. You have a guy in the office doing the player personnel recruiting stuff. You have a functional staff. If you got your targets or you got your priorities, which, as you mentioned before, your big name, Chester Frazier, maybe, here's my mic, maybe Barnett's a guy they liked and said, hey, whatever reason, we like Steve Alford. Here's a professional, knows what he's doing. Maybe he's just really good at his job. You got him in place. Norton knows the score, knows how to work at DeVries. You got a functional staff there that, again, would have been your coaching staff, your entire coaching staff 2 years ago. But now you can go out and you can recruit. You can get people on campus. You can use the contacts, the connections of three assistant coaches and the head coach. You have more now. The net is wider. You're not panicked as often or as frequently or as direly as you were before. If you are, it's up to you, not me. Just seems like this is in a good direction now. It's not finished, but they can work. They can do a lot of work right now on the roster, on the program, on, hey, let's get you in a strength and conditioning program, this, that, the other thing. By the way, we'll add assistant four or assistant four and five sometime soon. I think everybody can finally go, ooh, okay. Now we're in the left lane. Now we're passing people. Now we're making up some ground. Do you think that they do more players or more coaches, one before the other right now?
I'm with you. I haven't heard anything personally, but I do believe, you know, they're going to lean more into building the roster before kind of finalizing that coaching staff. With one caveat, that being that, hey, maybe they do decide some of the guys, because they have interviewed other people. They have interviewed other potential assistant coaches. So if they decide, hey, you know what? Let's call up Coach X that we interviewed a couple months ago. I do like him. I do want him. Let's make it final. Let's finalize that. You know, I could see that happening. So I'm not ruling that out entirely, but I do believe the focus is going to be more on building the roster. Because at this point, just like you said, that's more important. Like, you barely have a team. You have five. You are capable of putting a team on the floor for right now. That's it. Coaching staff, you have everything you need. Like I said, a couple years ago, this was a full coaching staff. You have three assistant coaches, all three that can go out on the road. And you can change that later. You can change that later. If you decide, hey, yeah, you know, maybe this other guy that I'm bringing in later is somebody I want on the road recruiting, you can change that later, just like you can with football, where you can change who the 10 are that are going out for visits. So focus on these three. Let them go out through their recruiting. Use their connections. You have your director of basketball operations. You have your director of recruiting. You're all going to work together and make these decisions. I think the only hang up is We saw how quickly you bring in Chester Frazier and his connections just immediately bring in two guys. What if a fourth or fifth coach that you're bringing in, what if just his personal connection with a guy, it just happens to be, you know, some five-star transfer stud? Like, maybe you're missing out on that, but are you really going to rush a coaching hire based off of that, you know, chance of something like that happen? I doubt it. So I think the focus is going to be more on players right now.
Something too, like I could, you know, this, I know this, they have talked to, interviewed, whatever. I know of three more, at least three more. I would say four. We've mentioned them here and there. Probably two of them, I think that they thought the price was too high. Not a no, maybe not even a not now, maybe a maybe, right? But you, again, you have that $1.4 million cap to work in. Chester Frazier gets a bunch of it. They've added two more assistant coaches. So that 1.4 is way past the halfway point, I think. I know that for sure. You have a number in mind to get your number two assistant coach, let's say. And you know this, and you're frank with them, and you're not saying, hey, you get the job, sign this paper, but you have a conversation. Hey, what would you think of 2 years, I don't know, $700,000? We're just speaking hypothetically here, Chris. And the guy goes, oh, no, I make four right now. So I make $800,000. That's a bit of a pay chunk for me. I don't know if I want that. Comes around a little bit. You can go back, and you can say, hey, you know what? But we could do eight. Or that coach comes back and says, man, I might get fired. Seven doesn't sound so bad, right? So there's this, the time can help you on multiple sides. So the people that you may have heard that were not on board before, I don't know that it won't come back around to them. They may have some work they wanted to do on campus. They may have had a vacation. Probably not, you would think, but there might be different reasons that they said no or not right now. And the same might be true for West Virginia. They might not have been able to pull the offer, put the offer on the table. They might have wanted to pull it until they knew some more. So again, that's why this time is not a detriment right now. If used properly, if this is in fact the direction they go, it can be very tactical for them and help them out. Speechless.
Look at me. I muted myself. You think I'd get this figured out by now. Portal's still open. Guys are still entering. So I think timeline-wise, players kind of wide open because we've seen teams add guys all the way up into the summer. So I'm not overly concerned with the timeline for West Virginia on players. I do think there's going to become a point where you're pitching two transfers and the transfer at some point is going to say, hey, you've added 10 transfers. How many of those guys have you told, hey, we got a starting job wide open? Hey, what's the real role? And that's not anything negative about West Virginia. It's just the situation. And it's going to be difficult to kind of pitch to all these transfers. You're going to have to find different guys that might be willing to accept a lesser role and move up. So, but timeline wise for roster, there's room. There's plenty of time. I wonder about the coaching staff. Like, what's the timeline for you of when they have to get those final two guys? Like, I know we said there's no rush, but kind of want those two before summer, right? Like before you get into summer workouts and things with everybody, because if they are two guys who are not on the road recruiters, then their main job is training and working with players. So you really want them there for the summer. Does that sound reasonable to put a timeline on that?
I think so. I mean, maybe even before like that first summer session, which is a couple of weeks from now. The graduation is the first weekend in May. There's a week blank, and then there's a week after that where the summer session starts. That wouldn't be my backboard, but like that might be a date that I aim at, just because functionally your guys are back in school. They can pop into the practice facility. It'd be cool if you were there, walking through some stuff. Hey, how are you doing? My name is blank. One of those guys will definitely be an office person, an off the court. I just don't think that Nick Norton's going to be an on the court / recruiting coach. Nothing against him. He's young and he's the director of player development. He has dual titles. So I don't think they'll add recruiting to that. So yeah, they're going to have to do that one person. That's one of the things we'll figure out. But either way, if it's an off the court or on the court, if it's an off the court person, he's going to have duties that as an assistant coach are going to be useful when players are around and the coaches aren't too. So yeah, maybe even before the coaches are around more often when people are gone, it probably would help to have somebody there who can lead the team through some stuff or organize some things or just get to know people. If you got three on the road and nobody on campus, that's not great, right? You'd like to have some people around too, just to have that feeling of a roster that's coming together and a coaching staff that's coming together, which it is right now, Chris. We know more than we knew before. We are answering more questions than we're asking now about the team, as predicted. We figure more will come soon. We'll keep an eye on the transfer portal. I don't know who's left to go in at this point. Maybe one or two more will surprise us. You mentioned one name. We'll see. We'll see who's coming out of it before too long, too. Might have some answers there before long as well. Until then, I am Mike Casazza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
We will talk to you then.